Hello and welcome to Fueling Around with me, Jason Plato, and my co-pilot and navigator, Dave Vitti.
Hello.
Fueling Around is powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or your home insurance. So then, Dave, how are you, mate?
I'm very good. And yourself?
Very excellent. At least you're not in the duvet today.
I'm not in the duvet today. I found that actually, much as the sound quality is superior, trying to be under a duvet for an hour to do this podcast is not practical. We should point out, by the way, as we do with these, that this particular episode is recorded during lockdown restrictions through virtual internet reality. I'm in my house, JP is in his house, and our special guest is standing by in the wings in their secret residence.
Oh. Is this when I talk? Do I talk now?
No, not yet. Not
do
yet.
Let, now.
Let me cue him up.
Got to introduce you.
Shh. Yeah,
pretend like you're not there, Ricky Wilson.
Shh, don't say that.
So our guest today is a, well, it says on my script here, gentleman, but I'm just going to refer to you as a dude. A dude that I'm a big fan of, and I don't mind admitting that. He's fearsome. He's a fabulous frontman of the Kaiser Chiefs. It's obviously the one and only Ricky Wilson.
Hey, guys. I'm here.
Hey.
Right, now I can talk. Yeah, I'm in a secret location. It's not so secret. I was just thinking about my predicament because I've been in a flat during lockdown, a one-bedroom flat with Grace, my fiance, and my dog, Redis. And it's been weird, but I've been really enjoying it. I think all married-to-be couples should have to go through it because I've actually discovered I quite like her.
But you know, I can relate to that because I've actually discovered that I can be a bit nicer and a bit more, what's the word, present with my wife. And I've realised that she actually quite likes me more than I thought she did during this whole process and vice versa. I like the kids more. They like dad more. It's actually not bad, is it?
It's getting a bit too touchy-feely, this, but I like it. I've realised that too, and I don't really need that much else. I don't need things. Well, I do need things. That's a lie. We just queued at TK Maxx for 50 minutes. I'm a changed man. I didn't get anything. Usually, it's my downfall. I can't walk past the TK Maxx. Some people, it's betting offices. For me, it's a TK Maxx.
So, cars.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're into cars. You've done a little bit in cars. You've got Honda in one of your, you know, you did that event at Knockhill. Where did it all begin, this little love affair that you've got with cars? Or perhaps there isn't.
Well, there you go. That's the thing. I do like cars. Other people's cars. Not my own. I actually, at the moment, don't have a car. Slight exaggeration. I have a Mini, but it's in a garage in Cornwall. But at the moment, I'm in between cars. We've just got a 2004 RAV4 that was £1,400, and
nice.
that's what we drive around in. It's all right. We've been to Menorca in it.
Really?
Yeah. But at the moment, nothing because they're not free, and I'm a skinflint.
Well, you're a Yorkshire lad, eh?
Yeah. So I was an ambassador for the Honda Civic Type R for a few years. And that was glorious because they gave me a Honda Civic Type R, which is a car that I never expect. It was something that I can say it now because I don't work for them anymore. But I'd never see myself in it or buy it.
Mm.
But I loved it.
Yeah, good fun to drive, eh?
Really good fun to drive. I loved that car. I had three of them, actually, because they just kept coming. And I'd just say, can I have it in blue? And all I had to do was, like, you know, do some interviews, turn up to some events and have a bit of fun. But when I went for the meeting, it was a bit like this. Said, so you love cars? And I went, I do. I'm into it. I've got my racing license. I can race badly. I wouldn't do it with anyone else on the track. But I can do it. And then they were a bit dubious because they were going, I had to interview Jensen Button as my first job. I said, do you want someone to interview him that knows everything about it? Or do you want someone to interview him that can ask questions that everyone's too afraid to ask him because they think they'll look like an idiot?
Mm.
And I said, I don't mind looking like an idiot. You know, because sometimes on like car shows, I'm not saying you do this, Jason, but sometimes there's a point where you're being explained something but not being explained it very well.
Yeah, yeah.
And talks being mentioned, which it's like the offside rule. No one really knows, right? And then I said to Jensen, can you explain talk to me? And he went, I have no idea, mate.
Well, that's got the makings of a brilliant interview, hasn't it?
Yeah. So it was quite good working for Honda because I'd do these interviews with like people and come at it from the, because I don't mind in any situation being the idiot because it's kind of my default setting. So if I can be that, it's like Dave. It's, you know, DJs go, and that was Pink Floyd, of course. And you go, of course. Don't say of course. It's just, you're just making everyone feel stupid, right? So I, if ever I've done any radio, I've never said of course at the end of a, you know, a back announcement.
So it must have obviously been the Honda Association and your working relationship with them that obviously led to the video "Hole in My Soul" that you did at Knockhill.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Was it Knockhill that you also did your race license at?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Gordon Shedden taught me to drive. Not originally. That was my milkman taught me to drive originally. But that's true. But the, yeah, Gordon Shedden, I went up there, did my racing license. And then I think it was like 2 years later we did the video. And that was a lot of fun. Mm. And I've done a lot of things in cars with the rest of the band. And although they're very keen drivers and they love it, because they'd never been taught it properly,
yeah,
they didn't understand why I kept going around faster than them. And it was like they just wanted to be going as fast as possible all the time, which is, you know, you'd think if I go as fast as possible all the time, I'll get round faster. Mm. But they couldn't get their head around the fact that I was using my brakes and my gears a lot more and doing quite well.
Yeah, there's like a rule book to follow, isn't there? Like a basic rule book. And what feels quick actually isn't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because it's a bit manic and a bit over the edge. And what if it feels slow and a bit more kind of a bit more fluid and a bit more in control, by and large, it's much faster.
Well, that's true. I mean, it was quickly that I learned that your most boring lap was your fastest lap.
Yeah.
Because nothing goes wrong. But it's quite good because when you go with a bunch of mates, I'm sure you've been in this position where they're going, oh, film me when I go past. And you film them and you show it to them and they go, oh, that's a bit disappointing.
It looks so slow, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Even when you watch things like the Top Gear laps, I always think, and you see the person there and they're giving it their absolute all. Yeah. And then you see them coming around Gambon or whatever and it's like,
yeah. Inside the car, it's like it's
manic. Everything's going off. Yeah,
but when they're when you see it outside, it just looks so dull.
No, it's absolutely true.
That's why you need the noise of Formula One. It helps.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think F1 really went downhill when they went turbo. It didn't get the back of your hairs, you know, the back of your hairs on your neck stand up when they start up. But yeah, we sell noise is a great quote. I forget who came up with that, but it's that's what we sell at motor racing.
So do I. Technically. I only have to do 45 minutes every 2 years and then I'm happy with that. So, but.
And Ricky, I watched the behind the scenes thing of making the video up at Knockhill.
Yeah.
And before I pressed play, I was thinking, right, we're going to get a real insight. You know, we're going to see some tomfoolery here. I reckon there was so much hit the cutting room floor, which perhaps they went, oh, we can't show that, we can't show this. You know, you guys just dicking around. Is that the case or was it fairly civil?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we're quite... not boring, that's not the word, but we're quite sensible.
You're professional, aren't you? That's the word.
The director kept saying, oh, I'm putting cameras in the cars to film you. Now, everyone looked like, you know, excited. And then when he came back a couple of days later, he said, yeah, it's not really usable, the footage, because everyone just looks like they're concentrating really hard. Yeah. So no one was like going, woo, this is amazing. Everyone was like, I really want to win. I really want to win. Yeah, everyone just had steely faces and no one was acting. I need to give them acting lessons.
I would imagine that you spent half of that day stood because there were shots of one of the pro drivers there presumably doing donuts around you. I can just imagine you just sort of standing there for half the day just in a cloud of smoke as this Type R just circled you.
At the end of the day, there were no tyres left on that car because they kept doing it. It was ridiculous. But it was amazing that with the pro drivers, what confidence they have in where they can put a vehicle. It's just phenomenal. Like, if you don't move, they won't hit you. That's it, basically. And, it, you know, it was dangerously close. And we were dangerously underinsured. But...
Yeah, what sort of video are you doing? Oh, no, nothing. Not just being...
Walk in Scotland.
Steady.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. And it's getting increasingly difficult to coax the band into making videos because, you know, they don't want to do it. They don't really particularly want to be famous. But so you have to stick things in, like quad bikes or jet skis. Not kill.
Do you know what you should do for your next one? You should try and recreate that famous Duran Duran Rio video. You know the one on the yacht?
They don't do water.
Oh, do they not do water? No. Okay, right. Well, that one's out then.
No, too much travel involved as well. They were dubious about Knock Hill.
Well, I totally understand that. I mean, Jesus, it's a long way up there.
So you mentioned before, Ricky, about the Mini, which is in a garage in Cornwall somewhere. Now, am I right in thinking, is this the Mini that you bought many, many moons ago, shortly after passing your test, that once belonged to your manager's wife?
Manager's grandma, yeah.
Manager's grandma.
He's still my manager. I don't think she's with us anymore. But yeah, he actually gave it to me because I, as I said at the beginning, my dog's barking like hell.
That's all right, can you hear fine.
Him?
Yeah.
Yeah, this just proves we're in lockdown. This is all good content. So I'm notoriously tight with my money and I wouldn't get a car. And then he didn't want to sell it because I think the thing about minis is they must be really hard to sell because you fall in love with them. Mm. So you probably, if you were going to get like a grand for it or something, you'd rather give it away. So he gave it to me. And then I spent about $6,000 having it done up. Right? Because I did fall in love with it. And now it's it looks amazing. It doesn't go because there's something wrong with the electrics that I've never figured out. If there's any experts there on electrics for minis, the battery just drains and I have to keep it plugged in the garage. I'm not asking you for advice.
I was going to say, I can't help you with that. No. Plug it in twice, I would say.
Yeah.
Find two plugs.
But I started going to like Tesco's and disconnecting the battery when I went in.
Oh, is that bad?
Yeah, it was that bad, yeah.
Just so that you'd have some charge to get you home.
Yeah, or park on a hill. That was another one. And the fuel gauge doesn't work, so I have to keep stopping to make sure I've topped it up.
Have you de-seamed it?
De-seamed
it? You know it's got external seams on a Mini?
Oh, no, I like the seams.
Yeah, well, have you ever seen one with the seams taken off?
No.
Oh, it's a thing of beauty. Yeah. It's,
is it really?
Looks really different. Yeah, they cut them off, then they put like a lead in there, and then they obviously put the paint and stuff on. Oh, man, they just look incredible.
I put bigger tyres on it. But then every time I went around a corner, the front ones would like scuff against the inside of the hub.
You can only turn really gently.
Yeah.
You can't even do roundabouts in those things.
No. Straight over.
In the Wilson car history of stuff you've owned, have you ever made like a hideous mistake where you bought like a PT Cruiser or something? Just, you know, you wake up, you look out the window and you go, what did I do that for?
Never. Now, my favourite car, and it's my favourite car of all time, is a Range Rover, right? And I had a Range Rover once, and I absolutely loved it, but I had to get rid of it because I was becoming too much of, like, settled in my ways. Mm-hmm. And I had a sore chin from putting my finger on it while I was resting my arm. But I did love it, and I will have one again one day. That's the biggest kind of, like, I'm in a band kind of statement. It's not even that much of a statement, is it? I remember when we first got he won't mind me saying this, probably not listening, but he won't mind me saying because it's funny. Nick Odson, he bought a Merc, a two-seater convertible, I don't know, compressor or something, when we first made it big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were at some traffic lights and had the top down, and I predicted the right game on the radio. And we both suddenly felt so embarrassed because we're in Leeds. And you're just thinking, oh, we look like a complete couple of... Sorry, I can't swear on this. So at that point, I thought, I shouldn't really get a flashy car for a while because if you feel uncomfortable in your own car, you're in the wrong car.
I'd have thought that actually the Range Rover, because I know that there was obviously a time when you were travelling between London and Cornwall. You know, you were living down there, you were obviously working in London, you were doing a lot of long journeys. Surely the Range Rover was the perfect, comfy...
Absolutely.
...vehicle for that, was it not?
Yeah, you just pointed it.
It's like a sofa on wheels.
Yeah, and it ended up in Cornwall somehow. I enjoyed that. I loved it completely, and yeah, I really do miss it, and I've talked about it now for a little bit of time, and now I'm thinking that's what I definitely want. I saw the 50th anniversary one yesterday, and I was a bit like, yeah, now how can I wangle a deal with them?
yeah, little black book, let's go through that.
Yeah.
And then we know that there will be a future Kaiser Chiefs video shot on a track somewhere with Range Rovers donutting around you and Peanut and Whitey and the lads.
No, because I don't want them to have one either. I'll save that for the solo.
The difficult solo album.
Yeah. Oh, no, it'll be easy. I'll be on my own. It'll be terrible, but it'll be easy.
Anything on the radar for the future car-wise? Or bike?
Bike? No, I don't. I don't get on with bikes. I've got a bike. I've got a Triumph Bonneville, the replica of the Steve McQueen one. Mm-hmm. You know?
There you go.
They only made 999 of them. And mine's done no miles. It's brilliant for drying tea towels on. It sits in the hallway. But I love it completely. I do sit on it and go broom broom on it sometimes. I took my test twice for bikes and I was just terrible at it. I couldn't turn left. I could right, so I was fine with. But I think everyone should take the bike test because it does make you a better driver. in a car because you become a lot more aware of bikes.
Well, I think you're right because you're so much more vulnerable on a bike.
Yeah.
That, yeah, it is a good thing. And obviously we all know about the classic bike accident. It's people driving and not looking, and turning right and then suddenly bang. Yeah, I think it's a good discipline for everybody because it does make you more aware of other stuff on the road.
It does. But the other reason I don't motorbike is I remember after my first test, I parked up, I got in the car, emptied my boots of water, put the radio on, put the heater on and went, I'm in a Range Rover. Well, this is good. I'm a car person.
We asked people about their fantasy two-car garage, and I think I already know what one of yours is. And actually, a lot of people vote to have something like a Range Rover in there, something big and comfy. But what's the other thing then? If your fantasy two-car garage, what's your fun thing? What would you sit beside it for the weekends?
Oh, probably a really old, like a Jaguar D-Type or something like that. Something where there's only a few of them.
Yeah.
Because, I'd want it for the specific reason of turning up at, like, Carfest and people being impressed. Like, you can have the best Mini in the world, which I'd like, but you could have the 10th best D-Type and it'd be amazing. So, something like that. Is that all right?
Well, that's a mega choice, that.
Number plates. Now, what are your thoughts on those? Have either of you two got private number plates?
No.
Do you know what? I do, but I don't use it anymore.
Right.
And Soph's got one, which I bought years ago. In fact, I won a number plate in 97.
Yeah.
Some bloke came up to me in the paddock at Sir Silverstone and he had P180O and they were on plates and he went, do you want to buy that? And I went, ooh, that's a bit tasty. And I just happened to be stood with the marketing director of Renault UK, a guy called Andrew Luck. And Andrew said, well, you can have that one. £1,800 is a bit too rich for me. I don't. And he went, look, I'll tell you what, if you win this next race, I'll buy that for you. So I own the plate.
Wow.
So that was cool. And I love this thing. But similar, I just kept on getting clocked, or if I parked it slightly wrong, it would be on social media. Or
it's such a weird thing because it's something I'd like, but it's also a little bit like putting your gold discs up. I like it and I'd like to have the confidence to do it, but I just don't think I'd manage, I don't know.
I think there's some that look good, but I think there's so many. You see something. I'm trying to think of a good example now, and I can't, but I was behind one the other day, and I was kind of like, well, obviously her name is Louise, because it looks a little bit like Louise, but only very slightly, And it's when they're so tenuous. And then the other thing I don't get is the fact that they have the spaces done illegally to obviously make it look like it's something J or whatever.
A black screw.
But the thing is, surely they must get pulled all the time by the police.
Yeah.
If they've got an illegal space number plate.
I quite like a funny, humorous number plate. I mean, do you know a guy called Steve Parrish, Ricky?
Yes.
Do you know him? Yeah. He was a pro motorbike rider. In fact, he's Parrish Sheen's teammate years ago. He does a bit of TV on the Isle of Man TT. Anyway, he's got PEN1S.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just, it's a belter.
Mm. Are you talking about his number plate or his actual...
That's his email address.
Yeah, there are some that are funny, but I do smack. If you drive through Chelsea sometimes, there's a guy that's got two cars in his driveway and one, the number plate is 2B and the one next to it is not 2B, which I think's pretty good. But then he always has to park in the right order.
Well, it's a bit like Ant and Dec. They have to sort of stand the right way around, don't they?
Exactly. But no, private number plates. What got me into private number plates?
I tell you what, before you get off private number plates, as a proud Yorkshireman, so my other half, her dad, he buys number plates with a view to then selling them on, right? So he buys number plates that, for example, may be the initials of, I don't know, something like TSB1 or something like that, and then try and flog it to the boss of TSB. And he does these kind of things. And he owns By Gum and By Eck.
Really?
Which would be a good kind of his and hers Yorkshire pairing.
That would. I'm glad I'm not making as much money as I used to because I might have done that.
Absolutely. I could have done your special bug off deal for the two. Did you find that that the whole period of lockdown made you buy more weird and wonderful things on eBay just through the border?
No, I browsed. I'm not a big spender. Once I walked past a charity shop and I bought a few plates, right? And they were made by Wedgwood. And they're calendar plates, and they bring one out every year, and it's got 12 pictures on it, one for every month, of a theme for that year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it could be British wildlife with, like, a hedgehog and a badger and stuff like that. And then I found out they've been doing these since, like, 1970, and I've got about 80% of them now.
Excellent.
Wedgwood calendar plates. We use them. They're dishwasher safe. Don't worry, lads. There are daily plates, but we have, like, I don't know, probably 30 of them. But the weird thing is, I've got my favourites. They're not even my favourite years. I really like the safari one, and I really like cowboys and Indians. That's right. I sometimes, whatever I'm having for tea, I'll match with the plate. I'll go, if I'm having a steak, I'll get the cowboys one out. Yeah, I'm a cowboy eating a steak. I know. Or there's like a samurai one. If I'm like, you know.
You can have some sushi on that one.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. Hey, we've talked number plates with Plato. It's a new podcast.
Big bong.
Yeah. Hey, I haven't said the second car either. Let me just tell you this. Because we did the cars in the garage, and I said a D-Type, but the other one, I was going to go Range Rover, but you know when you get those companies that do up camper vans, not like old VWs, but like a van, like a Sprinter or something like that, and make them a maze side. I would love perfect camper van, but from the outside it looked like a beat up van, but inside was amazing. A bit like, you know, in Coming to America, where the guy that goes with Eddie Murphy, his you know, his aide or whatever he was, confidant, goes with him and spends all the money on doing up the inside of his flat with a hot tub and neon lights and stuff like that. It'd be like that. It'd be so plush inside.
I'm with you on that, because I do have a hankering for a camper van. There's a friend of mine bought one. It was a fully kitted out VW Transporter. And the guy who'd had it was a motorcycle racer, and he used to take it to his meets at the weekend. And obviously that's where he lived, and it was perfect for that. And anyway, he had a crash. He's still with us. But anyway, he stopped racing. So this thing was immaculate, had everything on it. And my mate decided this was what he was going to do. And he did all the calculations, and he said, listen to his missus, imagine all the money that we're going to save on holidays that we don't have to go on with the kids. I'm going to sell all my Star Trek figurines that are in the loft. I'm going to put all this money together, and I'm going to buy this thing. And you know what? He did. And this is what they do. And they go off, and they just go and park somewhere, and that's their holiday life.
How cool. She fell for that, did she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I like it.
I think it's one of those things that in reality, I'd want to hire one first.
Yeah.
Before I then parted with the thick end of 30 grand or something like that on one that I don't need for more than two weekends a year.
Joe, I did an item a little while ago on Fifth Gear about camper van or caravan. And I was always camper van, definitely. But actually, when we lived with it for a couple of days, the caravan's the tool.
Really? Have you seen that camper van, though? It's like more of like one of those American big ones where you get a little sports car that comes out the back.
Yeah.
Ah, now, see, now that's an exception.
Right, yeah.
That's the best one, yeah. Something a bit fast up its bum. That's the thing.
But you need one the size of that Meet the Fockers motorhome, though, to incorporate one of those, don't you? You need a huge, great thing.
You do. And I don't know why I want one of these, considering I've spent half my life on tour buses. But but I like the idea of one just for me, that I go up front and drive. I'm telling you too much here, but sometimes when I can't get sleep at night, I imagine I'm on a camper van and I'm off like that. Just, you know.
Where is it?
Do you ever imagine yourself being somewhere else when you try to get to sleep? Do you? Is it just me?
Yeah, I've not tried the camper van. I might try that.
I said to my dad I was going to get a camper van and drive to Menorca all the time. He said, "Oh, you've got to be careful, because they put hoses through the window and they put it up to the exhaust pipe to kill you in the night and steal all your stuff." I went, what? That's probably happened once, right?
Well, you know, you're talking earlier about having a chat with Jensen. That happened to Jensen in his house in the south of France.
Really?
Where they hose piped it through. He was asleep with her indoors. They hose piped it. He was out for the count. No. They came in and robbed him.
No.
And that's that. Honestly, that's happening, not all the time, but a lot in the south of France. That's really? the new thing, yeah.
I don't want to put people off, because I love French service stations, because they're just phenomenal. Because I like a service station, because it's, if you eat at a service station, the calories don't count, as we all know.
Mm.
But the French ones, I'll even walk past the McDonald's, because like they sell fresh baguettes and stuff like that. And I went to one, had a swimming pool. You can have a dip, park up, fill it with petrol, have a baguette, get in the pool.
Have a splash and a dash.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is your favourite service station in this country, Ricky Wilson?
Oh, it's Heston.
Do you? See, I'm a Lee Delamere man.
Oh, Lee Delamere. It's where they always met up in Gavin and Stacey, isn't it?
Of course, yes, it's halfway, isn't it?
It's halfway, yeah. You know, to have a favourite they're like your children, aren't they? You can't really have a favourite. I don't like Leicester Forest, east or west. So when I went up to Leeds all the time, I heard a horror story about one and I stopped using that one. Something to do with the toilets. I won't go into it.
There's something not right about going on the bridge to get grub, is there?
No. You know when there's a sign and you think, oh, I'll stop here, it's got a Burger King.
It's go the other side.
It's false advertising.
False advertising. I couldn't agree more. You know, you turn up there and you're going northbound. They say they've got a Marxies. Do they? It's southbound. Yeah. It's on the other side. You know, it's not right.
No.
It's not right. And often you have a better side, don't you? You have a side which has all the good stuff and then all the crappy stuff is on the side that you're on.
And which side's that, though? Going up or down?
Well,
you must have played. You must have had the conversation. You've all had it in the car with your missus or someone, where you're passing one. You go, should we stop at this or risk it for the next one? It's like playing cards, right? Isn't it?
Do you not do that with petrol sometimes? Play the game of risk. Where you go, I'll make it to the next one.
I've done that. Yeah. Do you think now this is dangerous? This. Do you think that they lie to you with the petrol gauge? Now it's digital. You know, and it keeps going down percentages.
Yeah.
Do they lie to you?
I think they do. And that's why I play kind of Russian roulette with it, because I think, oh, I've got loads. I can get home.
But how much more do you think you've got? Like,
I reckon you've probably got 20, 30 miles.
Do you think after it goes to zero?
Yeah.
See, what I like to do is I like to fill up and then actually drive really, really sensibly for a little while and just watch the numbers go up. Because actually, when you filled it up, it's saying 560 miles or something, and you're kind of going, I'm making money. 600.
I'm making money.
I'm literally creating petrol. So I'm driving at 56 miles an hour up the motorway, watching this go up from 560 to 570. I'm going to be 600 soon. I wonder if I can get to 630.
Yeah.
So, Ricky, tell me if this is true. There is a rumour that I have heard that you and Jason Plato may be doing something of a job swap at a car and music festival coming up. Is that true?
Yeah, well, a lot of things get said at festivals, don't they, Jason?
Normally over a beer or two or something like that.
Yeah, or more. But the at Carfest, we decided that Jason was going to become the singer, the front man of a rock and roll band. Maybe for one song. I don't think he could.
Half a song. Oh. But yeah, do you know what? I mean, I'd love it. It would be ace. I'd love to do it. It would be appalling because I can't sing.
And in return, you might get me on a track with other people on it other than me.
In return, we'd stick you in a touring car, yeah.
Yeah, all right. It's in our pocket as something to do.
Yes.
And when the opportunity arrives, let's do it.
We'll do it.
I'd like to come and watch on both occasions, if possible.
Maybe it'll be on the same day.
It could be on the same day. Who knows?
We'll race in the day. We'll sing at night.
Oh, that sounds like... Mate, that's that rock like and roll, life, that.
It? Yeah. Hey,
that's an album title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Race in the day and we'll sing at night.
And then we'll eat off the Wedgwoods.
Yeah. Yeah. Racing and a rocket.
Ricky, it's been brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us for this very relaxed, loosely car-based chat. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we will see you when lockdown allows.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
That's about it for this episode of Fueling Around, powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or your home insurance. Now, don't forget to get in touch with us on Twitter at Jason Plato or at David Vitti. And if you like what you heard, feel free to give us one of them big ratings, press the subscribe button, and share the podcast on all your socials. That's it. We're off. We'll see you next time. Ta-da.